Hello, children. Welcome to Panning the Stream. My name is Bianca. Across from me is... what's your name, hon?
I'm Dan. Hello, children?
It's Dan's first time here, so we'd like to give him a warm welcome.
Oh,
everyone,
thanks.
Clap your hands for Dan. Everyone, yes, thank you.
What do you think our demographic is?
Young, school-aged children.
Why? We're talking about, like, Vietnam movies.
I know. It's a new trend. It's like Fortnite for the kids, panning the stream in Vietnam.
Well, I guess if it gets the numbers, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, there's little kids walking around with panning the stream shirts on.
Really? We don't even sell those. I think we need to do a cease and desist for that.
They make their own out of crayons and fabric.
Can you show me some pictures?
Yes. Do you see? Check it out.
You're not holding anything.
What are you talking about?
I know the people can't see you, or they because it's a podcast, but I'm sitting 3 feet in a closet across from you.
You don't know what you're seeing.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
You gonna keep it going?
Sure, let's keep it going. I got some tools on my tool belt.
Oh, yeah?
And I got some overalls, and chewing on a piece of wheat.
Really?
And
why? What are you doing? What kind of work are you doing?
I'm doing silo work. A lot of silo work lately.
Yeah?
Standing in silos and looking around, finding scraps. And
scraps for what?
For my silo.
I thought you were in the silo. I thought the silo was done.
Yes. But part of the process is ensuring that there are enough scraps to keep the silo going.
Oh, it's a fixer-upper.
Yes. It's just like that.
Oh.
Why are you laughing? This is my life's work.
Because you're hosting, but then you'll say something and you'll stop. Like, you want me to move it along? And I thought you were hosting.
Oh, I was just talking. You're thinking more about the... you know, the ins and outs of hosting because you're so used to doing it. But I'm just talking and being myself.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to lay down your hosting law on my game, mister, I don't think so. I'll send you back to the chicken coop where we keep our chickens next to the silo on the farmstead that we keep with our 20 children.
This sounds like a different life than what we have planned for ourselves.
Boop! Oh, another kid just came out. Make that 21 children. It's when it happens, it sounds like, you ever step on bubble wrap?
I have many times,
similar
yeah.
sound to that.
I've never seen the famous video that they showed in science class in junior high about kids being born.
The miracle of life.
Yeah, so I still have no idea what it looks or sounds
it's
like.
Horrible.
But I assume it doesn't pop, right?
It pops. Yeah.
It does?
Like a popping bubblegum pop.
I literally have no idea what that
I'm whole... kidding. There's no, just so you know, there is no popping sound.
Oh, okay, but even like the look of it, I really have no idea what the... what's going on?
Well, I think if it's a C-section, from what my mother has told me, because she's had C-sections for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Same with my mom.
They just kind of take your insides out and put it on a cold metal table and then fish the baby out of there and then throw the baby on the mom's lap. And they're like, oh, there you go.
They take your insides out?
Well, yeah, they have to lay it because your stuff is, it's not like they have to take out your intestines and everything.
Are you kidding? Is this a bit?
No, they literally like, because your intestines are all coiled up. They have to like. Take your shit out. They don't, not removing it. They're just like uncoiling it and putting it aside. Yeah, all your insides come out.
Are you shitting me?
I'm not all of your insides, but a lot, like there's some intestine action going on. And that's why, like, my mom said they put it like a thing up so she can't see what they're doing because it's really disturbing. And then the regular
way. Was she conscious?
I think so, yeah. I think she was conscious.
Wow.
Yeah, the regular way, there's like a lot, you never see it in movies, but there's like a ton of blood and like usually poo, like usually the mom poos because all that pressure.
Usually? Like over 50% of the time?
Well, I think that's why they say you shouldn't eat like 8 hours before your pregnancy, but obviously sometimes, you know, you just go into labor.
Yeah, don't you just have to run to the hospital and then squeeze out a baby?
Yeah, and then there's poo and then you squeeze out a baby which is like the size of like a watermelon and you squeeze it through a hole that's about the size of a tiny little grape and then you have to go on living your life after that. It's not like that's it and then you're done for life. Like, you have to go and then continue living after you just did that.
You make it sound like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
It is.
With, like, intestines coming out, and I don't think anyone ever pooped in Mortal Kombat, but...
Everyone's, like, it's such a common thing. People have kids all the time. Like, people are constantly having kids. Have. So it's like, people aren't fazed by it, but that's the reality of the situation.
Man.
And everyone goes on acting like kids are such a great thing, and no one wants to talk about how fucking brutal it must be on the woman's body.
You know...
And you know what? You know, they give birth, and everyone's really happy about the baby, but the mom has to walk around then dealing with the side effects of having just gone through that horrible thing, and your feet are swollen, and...
Your feet?
Yeah, your
Why
feet.
Why are your feet
Colleen
involved?
Was telling me that your feet get insanely swollen.
Why would your feet do that? What do feet have to do with babies?
I don't know, but your feet get swollen, and your stuff isn't the same. I mean, you're just constantly leaking pee, and it's...
What?
Yeah, on top of having to take care of the baby.
So wait, every mother is running around peeing? Like in her
shorts?
No,
obviously not every mother, but it's very common. Very common.
For just the immediate aftermath, or like 20 years after, you know, you're at your kid's high school graduation and you're just leaking pee still?
No, I don't think it's that long after.
Okay.
I would say probably like a few weeks, from the people I know that have had kids recently.
This is just something I am absolutely ignorant about.
Yeah, I know. It's nice to be able to, like, think about how gross it is, because I know I'm not going to have kids because I don't want kids, and think, like, oh, I'm never going to have to deal with that. Instead, we'll be going on vacations and stuff.
Oh, I just didn't know about all the gross poop and pee stuff.
Yeah.
I just thought it hurt, and it was, like, taking a big poop.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, you are taking a big poop. I mean, you could be while giving birth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know who knows all about that is Joanna Gaines.
Yeah, she knows all about it and a lot about silos.
Silos. She has like 14 kids.
Mm-hmm.
She's married to Chip.
Mm-hmm. Chip and Joanna.
Chip and Joanna.
Joe.
These folks, I've only seen them on the cover of like tabloids in the supermarket aisle.
I know that they are insanely popular. They are hugely popular.
I saw them on these covers, and I think I Wikipedia'd them once, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, I bet my mom knows who these people are.
I'm sure she does.
This definitely seems like something like my mom would watch and know.
Yeah, yeah. I think they were on HGTV for a while, which is like the home improvement channel, and they are kind of like the face of that whole movement. And yeah, I could see why. You know, we watched just two episodes for the podcast today, but I could see why it's so appealing. There's definitely big personalities involved. Like, Joanna seems kind of like the straight man, and Chip is more of a giant toddler. Kind of like a whimsical, like, you know, the manic pixie dream girl.
Yes,
it's like the male version of that, just like really whimsical and always doing a gag,
childlike glee and stuff. Yeah.
But then also able to like sand floors or whatever people do that are in that business.
But they also do, like, they have this thing. First of all, just so you know, we watched episodes, season 3, episode 1, and season 4, episode 6. We heard these were two highly rated ones here. But they have this like relationship that I feel like I see way more. I saw way more in the Midwest growing up, and I think you see it with a lot of like Southern married couples and stuff, where it's like a lot of like playful bickering, mm-hmm. where it's like as a joke, like, oh, you better have that dinner ready by, you know, 7:30. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, he wouldn't know how to tie his shoes without me, you mm-hmm. know, like that type of like rolling the eyes, but like, oh, but I love him, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the vibe I get from them.
Yeah. It's weird in real life when that happens, because I feel like a lot of people use that to like cloak their actual criticisms of their partner. But...
Sure. Where it's like, oh, this is our bit. When,
yeah.
But also,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I dinner better be ready.
You can tell by the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Dan always says to me, like, how long are you taking to make dinner, Bianca? Better be ready in 15 minutes.
I never pressured dinner time.
No, you've never asked for a specific dinner time ever.
I always love the dinners you make me.
Well, thank you. I know. That was a joke, Dan. It was a bit, okay? It was just a bit.
This is our playful bickering bit.
It was,
Yes.
speaking of playful bickering, before we started recording, Dan was reading about the Chip and Joanna Gaines, and about Joanna's heroin cheek. What was it? Farmhouse cheek.
Right, farmhouse cheek. C-H-I-C. Yes. Farmhouse chick?
Chic.
Chic?
Like iron chic?
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, now you speak my language. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, okay, maybe I could remember that now, because I've only heard of it in terms of heroin chic,
mm-hmm.
And that was the, like, hey, I'm skinny and dying, and that's fashion, right? And that's what heroin chic is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. There's a lot of things I don't understand.
I'm skinny and dying and fashion.
I mean, frankly, there are like two things in the world I understand. So this fashion thing.
In your defense, you understand those two things very well.
I do. I understand my games and wrestling. But I will say, this being a house renovation show, mm-hmm. I certainly don't understand or know what the fuck I'm talking about with like house type stuff. Mm-hmm. But I definitely have more of a frame of reference now that we just bought a house.
Right.
Over like, because if we had watched the show 4 months ago, before mm-hmm. we even kind of started the house hunt type stuff, I would not know what a contractor was. You know, I was still pretty fresh to knowing what a mortgage was, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like, now them going in and talking about renovation budget and, like, oh, okay, so we're looking to have an all-in price of this, and this is what we're looking to do these floors, and, like, terms like backsplash and what were some other terms? Oh, one I still don't know is shiplap, but they say shiplap 400 times in these two episodes. I think it's a wood thing.
It's some kind of wood thing, yeah.
Okay, but now I know all about backsplashes. I know about mm-hmm. tiles. We got some hexagons, some nice hexagons.
Yeah, so that's kind of, that inspired our choice to watch that this week for the podcast, because we are also in the midst of a home renovation. Obviously, we don't have a giant team doing it. It's just about three guys.
Just
doing
a nice guy and his team that seem quite good at what they're doing.
They're very competent.
Yes.
So we were kind of in the mood for this. And it's nice to be able to see that stuff. I mean, my first instinct, like, I feel like if I saw this 4 months ago, like you said, not only would I not have the appreciation, but I also wouldn't think, like, now I'm thinking, like, well, it seems like Joanna is making all the design decisions on behalf of this couple. And, like, you know, going through what we're going now, where, like, every aspect of the renovation has to be, like, you know, I'm pulling my hair out thinking about, like, well, what do we want? What kind of knobs do we want? You know?
Yeah.
It's like everything is such a big decision. The idea of putting that power in someone else's hands, like, granted, she seems to have some background in interior design or whatever. She's obviously very capable. But just because someone's own personal aesthetic is you know, well developed, doesn't mean that necessarily applies to you. So you're, you know, putting someone in control of, like, and not to mention too, they're renovating someone's I assume in most cases probably soon to be home and not current home. The one episode we watched was they right. were renovating the current
I would
home.
Assume it's more the format of, like, we're trying to decide between three.
Yeah, based on the fact that in the first episode we watched, they showed them like three houses, and that seemed to be the general format of the show. But at any rate, like, you're moving from one place to another, and Joanna and Chip renovate the house, but they bring all this new shit into the house. New furniture, new knickknacks. Everywhere you look, there's something on the wall. And that's not, like, a lot of that stuff you could tell seems like something she picked out to fit in with this decorating scheme.
Like, she was putting together a model home, and it's like, this is the farmhouse,
exactly.
You know. This is the cozy farmhouse
yeah.
look. Yeah.
So my question is, like, what happens to all of everyone else's belongings? Because I can't imagine moving into a house like that, like, decorating choices aside, it's like, where are we going to put all our shit, you know?
It would not surprise me if they talk to them, you know, off camera about that, and they're like, hey, are there things, like, do you want your main couch to be, like, do you have, like, a family couch that you want to make sure goes in, or this or that, and maybe they move that stuff in, mm-hmm. and then maybe they leave a lot of stuff to them, because I noticed these houses didn't have, like, TVs in them, so, like, maybe, like, that type of stuff they bring
well,
in.
TVs, sure, but literally, like, it looked like, you saying it's a model home, I think that's a perfectly accurate description. It just looks like every space has something in it.
Or maybe it's a thing where, for the show, like, they want to present this type of house. And so mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we're going to film it. And when we show you the fixer-upper, it's going to have all this stuff in here. But then after the camera stopped rolling, it's like, okay, what do you want us to take out? And we'll help you move your shit in or whatever. You know, it could be mm-hmm. something like that. I could see them wanting to just be like, to have total control over the final look of the house mm-hmm. for the show. And then be like, all right, now we're not going to just leave you with this.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember reading once that the, and I don't know if this necessarily applies to fixer-upper or HGTV's other suite of home renovation shows. But apparently they do pretty shoddy stuff. They don't
really?
They don't do, like, great work.
These
pretty,
shows
yeah,
on HGTV?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they do it pretty quickly and on the cheap. So it might look nice, but it's not necessarily built to last.
All show, no go.
Yeah.
I wonder if... okay, so this is what they do, Chip mm-hmm. and Joanna. So I wonder, let's say we hired them for our house. Mm-hmm. And we explained to
for
them...
$5 million or whatever
exactly,
it would cost
yeah,
to
yeah.
hire them.
Yeah, somebody, or we get chosen for the show sure. or something like that. And so they come out here to Connecticut and, you know, she makes those decisions, mm-hmm. those design decisions. And we explain to them what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. I wonder how they would do at something so different than what they're used to. Because, like, all the couple of houses we've seen here, they kind of just made very just, like, you know, model home, nothing, you know, crazy or anything. Like, they tried to, like, so the second one was this, like, Vietnam veteran. Mm-hmm. And so she had this, like, song printed on metal and mm-hmm. hung up and big American flag. And so, like, it seems like they tried to kind of, like, make it to that person's mm-hmm. specifications. Like, oh, we made their garden better. I wonder what they would do with us.
Yeah.
If we described, like, if I was like, okay, I need a Twitch studio, mm-hmm. and you were like, all right, I want a big crazy, you know, skull over the fireplace, yeah. or, you know, like,
I would describe the aesthetic as like outer space with a bunch of video game and art stuff regurgitated on top of outer space. Mm-hmm. That would be the aesthetic. Yeah, I mean, it's maybe I'm just kind of a control freak. I'm sure a lot of people would be satisfied with just like anything off of Pinterest, because all the houses that we saw that they did just look like they're straight off of Pinterest. But like, I mean, just personally from my experience with our house, you know, I was stressing so much about wallpaper stuff, because we have one, like, the dining room is small enough and the rest of the house palette is pretty like neutral and dark. I thought it would be a good opportunity to put some color. And I was like, well, we'll do wallpaper in this room. And I've spent so many hours looking at wallpaper online, and it's like, I finally was with our contractor at the house, and he told me how many rolls I needed to get. Like, well, he said I need enough for like 160 square feet of to cover that much wall. And I was like, all right, I'm armed with this knowledge. Let's go. In my mind, I was like, oh, this is a small room. We'll probably need like one roll of wallpaper should do it. And then I realized, no, we're going to need about five. And the rolls that I really liked were like $200. So it's like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work.
Are they like glow in the dark? Why are they so expensive? Like, how does one wallpaper be more expensive than another?
Well, I'm sure there's different quality wallpaper. I'm sure there's just higher quality
scratch
wallpaper.
Scratch and sniff.
I don't know about that, but, you know, there's quality considerations. And also just, like, the artwork was just amazing. It was really impressive. But I quickly realized, like, that wasn't really doable for us. Maybe one day, but certainly not today. It's our first home. So I'm just in the midst of making my own wallpaper, designing my own.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it might cost, you know, it's not going to be super duper cheap, but at least it'll be kind of worth it because it's our own.
Yeah,
you know,
you made
the
wallpaper. You're going to get to see it all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Why pay so much for someone else's artwork when, you know, it'll be our own? But, yeah. So, I'm kind of a control freak about that kind of stuff. So, the idea of giving someone else complete control over that kind of stuff is, like, hard to swallow.
It's probably helpful for us if you're a control freak about that type of stuff. It's probably helpful for you that I literally, like, when we were talking about, like, the floors in our current bathroom at the apartment, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know what our floors look like. Like, I've peed in that bathroom 20 times a day for a year. I couldn't tell you what color it is, what material it is. I don't know what our shower curtain looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, it does not register in my brain at all. So is that helpful for you that you can just do this and I can be like, yeah, that's cool. Sounds good.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it also helps too that you have your own space where you can just explode everywhere. well, I don't know. but, you know, the common areas, I think that matters more with that. Like, actually looks like and feels like.
For, like, company and stuff.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or, like, my Twitch zone can just be...
Yeah, that's going
to
be...
Behooves it to be stupid.
Pure personality. Like, you're not necessarily thinking about what colors go well together. You just want to, yeah, put
stuff... I've never once thought of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the kind of stuff that I've been thinking about for the common areas and the kitchen and everything like that. So, yeah, it's been really fun. It's been really stressful. But seeing the process happen at such a fast clip... on this TV show is enormously satisfying.
It is. It's so cool to see, like, they go in and they look at it. And I almost like it more when it's, like, the house seems more dingy and, like, ah, these floors suck and everything. Because you know how this episode's going to end. Mm-hmm. It's going to do the little, you know, sparkly transition. It's like, oh, it's amazing now. And, like, that is super satisfying. And the parts were, like, in between where they're just, like RG3, the football player, came in the second episode. And they're just taking hammers to everything. And they're just like, let's just destroy everything.
Yeah.
And then they make it amazing. Like... Although, so here's the thing. That's the stuff I like about the show mm-hmm. the most is when they come in and they're like, and they immediately, like, you can see, like, the Beautiful Mind equations in mm-hmm. Chip and Joanna's heads where they're like, okay, we're going to take this out. We're going to put an island here. We're going to redo this. We're going to bring down some light fixtures. And so that stuff's really cool, seeing it go from shitty to super nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just this show, I think, probably because, look, you make a lot more money if you got a popular show mm-hmm. making it longer. So an hour with ad space with a ton of viewers is making you a ton more money than a half hour. Mm-hmm. I think you could easily condense this down to a half hour because there's a ton of just interstitial bullshit that it does nothing for me, where it's like, okay, here's Chip being wacky in a antique thing and putting a bunch of hats on, or here's here's 5 minutes of them speaking into a fan, like
that whole anniversary
story. Exactly, like all that little like wacky banter stuff and just like personality stuff. I'm kind of just here for the house stuff, you know.
Yeah, the only like stuff I think that is like absolutely necessary, obviously seeing the house before, seeing the house after, learning about the owner's story, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like when there's occasionally important pieces that they're going out of their way to either reuse in a certain way or refinish so it looks like new. Like, that stuff is interesting.
Yeah, like when they got those crazy doors, like the big like kind of curved
those
ones.
Were cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like. Yeah, I can totally see, like, I think this is us getting older, or maybe it's more just us being homeowners now, because it's like now with that frame of reference, there is this satisfaction to it. Like, even little things where they say, like, oh, this house was listed for 170, but they wound up getting it for 50 because, this is in the first episode, because, like, it had been on the market for 2 years and didn't sell, which is just unfathomable. Like, I think this was recorded in, like, you know, the mid-2010s, and, you know, us in post-pandemic Connecticut is like, oh, we literally had to see the house the day it went on the market, otherwise you're not fucking getting it.
I mean, granted, it was like definitely a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
And it was in like
Texas,
near Waco, Texas. Yeah. So yeah, I doubt the real estate market there is particularly expensive. But yeah, obscene. $50,000? That's crazy. I mean, you can buy like a mobile. You can't buy a mobile home in North Carolina for that much. I mean, like,
I can't imagine.
I will say I was kind of disappointed with how. Maybe disappointed is the right word. I was surprised at how not educational the show was. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I watched that and I didn't necessarily learn anything about home improvement. I was just kind of like watching a show. Like, I could see some people deriving some inspiration, like, for how they want to design their own house. But in terms of, like, watching it and being like, oh, I see how that works now. I see what the process is like for that now. But I didn't come away with any of that knowledge.
Yeah, my understanding now is that with Chip and Joanna becoming, like, bona fide, like, super celebrities, that maybe they lean into the, like, personality stuff of those two being wacky together. Definitely. Which was the weakest stuff of the show for me. But, like, I'm with you in that I think now I would much prefer more of a real nuts and bolts, like, hey, we're spending an hour, like, this is all about the house renovation. We're going to spend time telling you why we're knocking this wall down. We're showing you all this stuff instead of just, like, the banter stuff.
Yeah.
Which I just... It really did nothing for me. I'm sure there are people that love Chip and Joanna, obviously, and think they're hilarious and stuff. But like, look, they seem perfectly fine to me. But like, I'm not going to watch a show for Chip's jokes, you know?
Yeah, of course. I could see why that would be like a nice cushion for this otherwise kind of dry stuff. But
I kind of want it dry.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And there might be other shows like that out there. Like, granted, like we've discussed at length, I think, in the Bachelor episode about how like mainstream things tend to be... have a very broad appeal. If it was more specific,
very sanded edges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was not trying to make it. Well, I was like, why did she say nice?
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was speaking metaphorically.
Have you ever watched a show like this before, a home improvement show?
Well, Home Improvement. That's the worst.
That's good.
Thank you. I've watched Home Improvement.
Like a reality show.
I feel like, didn't we watch like one of our first episodes
that was the
world's Canada's worst handyman or
that
something?
I remember that. But I was thinking when I was a kid, I used to watch Trading, I think it was called Trading Spaces.
Trading
Places or Trading Spaces?
What's the Dan Aykroyd movie and Eddie Murphy?
Whichever one is the
trading
wrong one.
Places.
Okay, so it must be
so Trading Spaces must be the one.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, it was just like one room of someone's house that like, and they would trade with their friends or whatever. And like the one friend couple would renovate their friend's room and the other friend couple would renovate the other friend's room. That's what I used
to watch.
Is it
like wife swap?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. yeah, that show was fun when I was a kid. I remember there's actually this really famous clip of this one couple that just absolutely hated the renovation.
Really?
I'll have to show it to you after the show.
This sounds familiar. You might have shown it to me years ago. I'd see it again.
Yeah. It's pretty great. You'd think that would happen more in these kinds of shows, you know what I mean?
Yeah, where it's just like, oh man, this is not what we wanted. But I bet if that did happen in real life, you would have to think that like Chip and Joanna, like this is what they actually do. Mm-hmm. And so if that happened, I mean, this is kind of a huge advertisement for what they do.
Sure.
So like if a client hated it, I doubt they'd want it. Like, and at this point, they've got to be like executive producers. Like this is their thing, I would imagine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, they could nix a bad episode, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm curious too about how like, you know how the judge shows like Judge Judy and stuff like mm-hmm. that? Well, maybe you know this because I remember we were doing research on that show when we wanted to be on it.
Yeah.
But there's like, it's not exactly how it appears on TV. Like whoever loses doesn't actually pay the plaintiff. It's like the show pays for it. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really make a difference. I wonder if this is actually the client's money or the homeowner's money that they're using, or if they...
It's a show thing or something.
If it's a show thing. I mean, because I imagine there has to be some kind of incentive for the couple to want to be on this show, right? I mean, like, otherwise they could just use that money toward hiring someone to do renovations.
Well, I mean, frankly, a lot of people just like being on TV. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's something as huge as a house is, you know?
It wouldn't surprise me at all if it wound up being, like, the show paying for it. Because, I mean, ultimately, like, to produce a show, like, reality shows are typically way less expensive than any kind of, like, scripted drama or highly, you know, like, directed, produced, scripted shows. So, yeah, a few $100,000 for a show, especially one that's as successful as this.
Good point.
It would not surprise me at all. Like, I've always found every time you look into a show and its production, there's always just kind of more... like legal stuff and weird little things that aren't apparent from, you know, and even like not a show, but like when we won the Taco Bell wedding, it's just like winning a contest is not as simple as like, you won this thing, here you go. It's like, oh, okay, well, we have to accept all this stuff, even the stuff we don't want.
Yeah.
And then the tax burden and everything. Like there's just like a whole lot of legalese that is boring to put in like, hey, commercial for this contest or hey, TV show. That you have to wonder how it actually goes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, that was the Taco Bell contest that we won. And I'm sure this show, this hugely popular show, has even more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like when I was a kid and I realized that, like, why are they at the end of every Price is Right? Why is Clorox in the credit? Like, thanks to Clorox and Mercedes-Benz and stuff. It's like, oh, because every time they fucking introduce the things, like, Clorox, it makes your clothes white. Check it out at your local. It's an advertisement.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I didn't mind. I didn't feel cheated where I was like, oh, they snuck an advertisement in. And I was like, oh, that just seems like a positive for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. You know, people win things, the show gets stuff to give away, and they get an advertisement. Like, win-win-win.
Incognito marketing. You don't know when you're being advertised to. I learned about that in a Moth story that I was recently listening to. So there you go.
I see, which is different than Subliminal, which is the old show, a couple frames or something.
Ek de Uninas. Remember I was talking about that last week?
What was the
About the Simpsons episode?
Yes, yes. The
Join the Army or whatever.
Yeah, the Navy or... Yeah, yeah.
So I'd be curious to learn about that. I'm sure there's got to be an AMA on Reddit about like, oh, I was on this show and
I'd be curious to see that actually. Yeah. I don't know. I love just whenever I'm watching a show like this, I tend to just have to, I have that second part of my brain. That's like, I'm watching the show on the surface and I'm also just thinking about the production. Like I did that a ton with The Bachelor, just thinking about like the way this was put together and the way they edit things and the way they manipulate the like coming up clips and stuff like that. That stuff has always fascinated me.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, yeah, you're a producer, so I could see why you look at it through that lens. But
I did even like long before, you know, like long before I was a producer, I always just loved like, I don't know why I've always been fascinated with that, like with television, comedy, wrestling, all those things growing up. I was always extremely fascinated in like how the sausage was made. I loved reading books about like how this is done, you know, and all those concepts were fascinating to me. Yet with video games, which video games are like, you know, they have been the primary thing in my entire life. yeah, I'll read the stories and stuff like that. And I've been part of writing those stories, you know, when I was a Game Informer and stuff. But I am so much more with games just about, like, the product. Where it's not like, I play the game, I like the game, I'll talk, you know, for days about, you know, Zelda dungeons, which one's the best, or which game did this better, or whatever. But, like, I don't really know the stories of, like, the development and stuff. Like, yeah. I don't know why that is with games, but I am so fascinated with the sausage being made and all these other things I love.
Yeah.
You know?
When I think about game development, I kind of think about, like, a tornado, and I just want to look away. And pretend that it's not there, because it just seems like, oh my gosh, just like impossible that any game gets made ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are little bits and pieces that I've learned along the way, like just through consulting about development and like the considerations that like, you know, I'm close to development, but even I don't know, like I wouldn't think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just, you know, how the layout of a town is just how design choices, like, because I'm always thinking about design choices in games in terms of what's best for the player. But in terms of what's feasible for, like, the hardware and the engine. Yeah, exactly. Like, those are two very different things. And because I'm always seeing it through the lens of, like, what is best for the player's experience, it's always enlightening to when these little facts kind of slip out during conference calls or whatever. It's like, oh, kind of like peering behind the shower curtain or looking into the tornado, if you will.
Yeah. I know enough to know that, like, people are idiots when, like, let's say there's a system in a game. Like, let's say a new RPG comes out and somebody's like, I don't understand. Why don't they just patch in, like, a new leveling system? Why don't they just do, like, whenever people make it seem like, why don't they just do this? It's an easy fix. It's like, it's never, ever an easy fix.
Never. And I guarantee you the developers have thought about it already. Like, yeah, there's nothing you could say, like, no tweet you can make that, like, the lead designer will be looking at and be like, oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, they've had a whole team of, like, sometimes hundreds of people poring over every design decision of this game for years frequently. Like, they've thought of everything for the most part.
Yeah.
And, like, I hate posters. Like, I just don't get why they don't just do this. It'd be the easy thing. You could fix that and, you know, that's 2 days. Get a programmer on this. Like, no. No.
No, yeah, usually it's like if it's like a game of Jenga, and if you take out one thing, the whole thing will fall. Like,
yeah, I've heard it. Like, okay, well, this character, we tried to fix this character's hair physics, and suddenly this part of the map doesn't spawn in anymore. It's like, fucking what? Like, some game engines are, like, that's kind of a specific reference.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Games seem hard to make.
Yeah. They seem really hard to make, and kudos to you if you're out there making a game right now.
Yes.
Doing the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to segue back into Fixer Upper.
Well, much like games are built, so are homes, my friend.
You know, you make a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Games are built, homes are built, podcasts are made. So it's all, you know, part of the same.
Did you know that Chip and Joanna Gaines had invaded our household long before we ever watched this show? Because
no.
We have two bowls from the Magnolia Home Collection. Two bowls and two dinner plates that we purchased at Target from the Magnolia
Home
Collection.
Was this when we were there together when we first moved here and we got those, like, those kind of like hard, kind of like ceramic things? I think I remember seeing the logo on that and being like, I think this is like a Reality Couple thing that made it real big.
Well, those are great bowls. I love those bowls.
You know what? Those are really good bowls. You know, maybe they got something going on.
They obviously know what they're talking about.
Do you think they made every bowl by hand, like in Ghost? Like, you know, Chip was just like had his arms over Joanna as they made the bowl.
Chain Melody, please.
Yeah, yeah. I would hope so. Yeah, this show, I can see why this is popular.
Yeah.
You know, it's satisfying to watch. It's just like, if this was a half hour long and we just cut down on some of the bullshit and the interstitial stuff, I would like it a lot more. And again, that show has to exist because there's a million shows like this, right?
Yeah.
Like, give me the one where we're just getting down to the brass tacks.
Yeah. It's interesting how many variations on this formula there are, because I feel like every show on HGTV that I've seen has always just been this. It's always some kind of home renovation. It's like Property Brothers and Love It or Listed. It's
Flippity Flappity, House Sales,
exactly.
Yeah, Cousins. Yeah.
It's just exactly this. And I guess maybe that's why Chip and Joanna made it so big, is because they have the personality factor that maybe the other shows don't have. But
yeah, I'd be curious. They do seem good at, like, I mean, I have definitely learned that there are some people that think they can be good at being on camera and doing certain things, and then there are some people that just seem to get it, and they are just like, you turn on the camera and they know exactly what's asked of them, and like, that's why, like, they really feel like producers of the show to me too. Like, they know what they're doing. They are good at reality television.
All right. You hear that, Chip and Joanna?
You got the Dan Reichert stamp of approval there. You seem to know what you're doing, folks. So yeah, that's Fixer Upper.
Yeah.
Do you think is this set for something you'd put on in the background, do you think?
No.
No. There's just so much out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yep. But hey, it's 'tis the season in our lives of with the house and everything.
Yeah, I can't wait till our house is all.
I mean,
oh, it's so close.
If you're listening to this on Sunday, we will be less than a week away from moving in. So
yeah, but that doesn't mean everything's gonna be done by then.
That's true. A lot of it's gonna be done. Mm-hmm. I hope we have floors to walk on.
I hope we have the countertops. I'm so excited about that. I got a nice slab.
We went to a granite warehouse.
Ooh, so cool.
Yeah, big old slabs of granite.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
We chose a quartz countertop.
We did get quartz, mm-hmm. Yes, and I learned you're not supposed to cut stuff on top of the quartz.
You're not supposed to cut stuff on top of anything.
We have our contractor was talking about granite, and he was like, man, cutting board, you could just, chop it up right
there.
Yeah,
but based on what the lady was saying, I don't think he was particularly informed about the differing countertops.
Quartz and granite and all that.
Yeah. So.
Yep. I'm excited to see it. I can only kind of imagine what everything's going to look like based on what you've told me, but I have full faith in you. And hey, I got my Twitch room. I got an arcade cabinet going in. I got my stuff. They painted the basement that I'm going to throw some weight stuff in. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, so am I. It's going to be great.
Very excited. But folks, speaking of things we're excited about, we're excited to see everyone that's joined the Patreon. It's patreon.com/paintingthestream.
Ooh, nice.
And we keep it real simple. We do a $5 tier and gets you a few fun benefits here. It's just $5 a month and you get ad-free episodes, every single episode. You get every episode early. You get it Saturday instead of Sunday. You get access to our hip happening Discord.
Wow.
We got lots of people in there. We got like 600 folks in there chatting the days and nights away. I'm in there a lot. It's a fun time. It really is good.
It's
all sorts
place.
Of different categories and stuff for my Twitch stuff, for painting the stream, everything. And also, you get For You, written for you by Bonk. It's a Bonk who? Bonked. Who do we have this week?
That's right, Dan. This week, we are honoring our friend, Matt.
Matt,
thank you for your support. I mean, I can't say anything that hasn't already been said about you. You're a quality human being. Your toes, your fingers, your eyeballs and ears, all spectacular. Great, eh?
Razor seems to have some thoughts on Matt, too.
Razor's very excited about Matt. You would go for a fair sum of money on the black market. I'm just putting it out there. Matt,
your brain goes to dark places.
Here is your Bonku. They cannot reach Matt before the river dragon tore him to pieces.
So he's dead.
Yeah, he's torn to pieces by a river dragon.
Man, I wonder if we're dissuading people from joining the Patreon, because somewhere in their head, if they're joining the Patreon, they've listened to enough of the podcast to know it doesn't end well for most of these Bonku subjects.
Well, there's time to defy fate. I mean, just because this is the prophesized end for you, Matt, doesn't mean that it has to be that way.
Maybe, if anything, these prophecies that come from your Bonkus, it will inspire the listener, the patron, to take a different path mm-hmm. and avoid the river dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Matt will stay away from rivers.
Yes. Matt, best of luck to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Before we go, we got a Hugh game card right here. Game. That's right. It's the Hugh game. Here's an interesting one for you, Bonk.
Lay it on me.
What is the worst memory you have with an animal?
An animal?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Man, all my memories with animals have been so great.
I know. That's why it's interesting.
I hate to be sad about it, but it would probably be, remembering Glenn's, the last month of Glenn's life when he was just pooping and shaky legs. Aww. And yeah, it was really sad. Or like shortly before Stella, passed away, I remember I was home and, she just like started having a seizure. Like, it was just really weird. And she didn't last too long after that. But, yes, probably those are our sad memories.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I remember one time, actually one particular memory of Glenn was we were in Pennsylvania when I was a kid. We used to go up there like every weekend, and I was still asleep. It was the early morning, and I guess my brother and Grillman went somewhere, and my mom just started screaming, and we went to see what happened, and I guess Glenn had fallen asleep on the porch, and at the time he wore one of those like chain collars. You ever see? They just look like chains.
Yeah.
And the chain had, it's like one of those deals where the type of collar it is, it's a chain that's loose, and then if you pull on it, it gets tighter.
Sure.
So the chain went like between the boards of the wooden boards of the porch while he was sleeping there. And when he tried to get up, it tightened because it got stuck there. Mm-hmm. So he was being strangled.
Oh, God.
So thank God my mom was around because she saved him. But yeah, that was scary for sure.
I would imagine.
Yeah, that was really scary.
Jeez.
What about you, Dan?
I would say it's probably, this is more about me being a wiener than an animal being bad, probably. But I was walking to Holy Trinity Elementary School from my dad's place in Lenexa, Kansas, and it was probably in like second or third grade or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just a very scared boy of everything, just very so scared and anxious of everything that ever happened to me. And I was walking, and I remember I walked right by Timmy Epperson's house there. And right, the next house, which is pretty close to school at this point, this dog ran up to me. And looking back, like I have a feeling that there's a huge differential in what happened in my mind's mm-hmm. eye as a child right. and what actually happened based on how I kind of remember people responding to it. I remember losing my shit. Like in my head as a kid, I was like, it was a Rottweiler snarling, foaming at the mouth, like just kind of trying to tear at my flesh, you know?
Was he biting you?
No, I never got bit. But I just remember in my head, again, it's like how I picture it in my head is this, like, I was under attack. I was about to die. Because I remember, like, like, freaking out. And I remember just, like trying to run away and just, like, just near.
It's the worst thing you could have possibly done.
Well, I mean, I was just a dumbass kid who was never prepared for anything. And I got to school. And I think the teacher was on the front area of the school, like the front steps or whatever, mm-hmm. and saw it. And I was losing my mind. And I just vaguely remember. Keep in mind, I was very young, so I don't remember exactly. I remember her being like, oh, you're fine. It was just like he just wanted to say hi or something. He was just like a friendly dog. So in my head, because I kind of remember when I brought it up to my parents and stuff, it was kind of a like, you probably freaked out over nothing type thing. I bet what really happened was that it was like a larger mm-hmm. like dog, like a golden retriever or something.
It's the happiest dog.
Exactly. But again, I didn't know that about golden retrievers until I met you. I didn't know that golden retrievers were, you know, like happy, nice dogs. I never like met one, I don't think. And so in my head, I probably just saw a big dog coming my way and assumed I was about to get torn to pieces. And I bet it was just a golden retriever that wanted to say hi and was like jumping up on me and stuff. But I just remember like telling the story like I almost died.
Did he jump up on you, the dog?
I remember him jumping and mm-hmm. stuff. But again, I don't remember any attempts at biting or anything. So I bet he was just trying to say hi. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I almost died, you know?
Yeah, that's scary. My mom actually got viciously attacked by a dog. Stop with your tail, speaking of dogs. When she was younger, probably younger than I am now, she a dog attacked her face and she had to get reconstructive surgery.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she loves dogs. I mean, it's amazing that she doesn't have a fear of them. But yeah, so that must have been really frightening.
Well, she's also just surrounded by cavaliers now, so she doesn't have a lot to fear, really.
That's right.
Except for your brother's dog that's like the size of a mammoth.
Max. Yeah, Max?
No.
Christopher. Oh, Christopher. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Christopher is huge. He is like an Anatolian shepherd or something. Anatolian?
Massive.
Yeah, he's huge. He's like 150 pounds or something and just long, like long and lanky. Like it's not like 150 pounds stout, like short and stout. Yeah. He's huge. Yeah. And then my other brother has Max, who's like one of those stocky pit bulls that has a massive head and he's just the sweetest boy.
He really is. He's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I love dogs.
Dogs are good. Well, Bonk, I also think you're good.
Oh, I think you are as well. Very good.
Any listeners, I have to assume you're all good as well. I'm sure you're all good, kind folks, and it's good to have you listening to
this.
Don't say
that. They could be listening to this while they're burying a body.
The odds of that have to be very... Look, we don't have that big of an audience. Like, I doubt any of them are statistically burying a body right now.
I know, but there's always a chance.
I hope you're not out there. I hope you're doing good things, just having a nice night.
Do good.
By a fire with some dogs or something. But thank you for listening to our podcast. This is Panning the Stream. We were talking about Fixer Upper. Yeah, that's going to be it. Thanks to Tom Otta for the theme song. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.